White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 615.
This is Sonny Smith, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry, and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our Patreon.com family, soon to be playing the NCAA brackets, woohoo, and Formula One. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, my voice is kind of in and out tonight because I spent the morning teaching my classes. Then I came home and spent a couple of hours reading and reading and reading and overreading and reading and reading the script for the Nissan Heisman House video for their trying to win awards for their commercials last year. They wanted the people that contributed the ideas to actually do the voiceover. And they were so nice, but they're like, yeah, that was great. Could you do it like three more times? And I'll do it three more times. Oh, that last one was perfect. Now, the line before that, could you do that three times? All right, now do the entire thing. All right, can we just have you do the entire thing over again? Okay, now just do the first line. About two hours of that.
That sounds delightful.
Yeah, but you know, it was cool. That's fun. It was neat to be in demand, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, all you TV people.
I didn't wear my sunglasses tonight for this. Oh, it was fun, though. Boris the AU Tiger did not turn up on this one, unfortunately. But he did get a new follower because the guy had seen the video and he's like, oh, he's got a Twitter account. Let me go follow it. And he went and followed Boris. Didn't follow me, but he followed Boris. So, speaking of our champion bowl game picker, we'll be picking NCAA tournament bracket games soon, won't we?
We will, and so we have that to look forward to, Boris crushing all of us once again.
Well, with his assistant, my wife, I mean, I'm sure that they'll do really well. So we got that coming up, and we've got the Fantasy Formula One League coming up. So there's lots of fun to be had with John and me and our great patron. So join up, and we'll get to that in the middle of the show. But we are like hip deep in the basketball season right now, are we not?
We are. We're not going to talk about football at all.
Wow.
This will be the only mention of the word football during the show. We are not going to talk about it again. It's all basketball.
Scratched a record when you said that. Wow. That's bold of our football show to not talk about football. But no, that's what's going on. That's what's happening. That's what it is. So we've got a little bit of basketball to talk about tonight. Because I don't have it on me here, but and I would probably get in trouble if I played it. But we are the champions. We are, as to quote the great late great Jim Fife, we are the champions of the Southeastern Conference, the Auburn Tigers, and not even sharing it this time. In 2018, we had to share it because we kind of fizzled out at the end and Tennessee caught up to us. But there ain't no sharing this time. We are lone wolves at the top.
And that feels really good. Mm-hmm. It really does. And it's worth spending a lot of time focusing on this team in the season tonight because it's a big deal.
It is. Well, think about this. In the last 5 years, and one of those years we didn't even have a postseason or a champion, really. But in the last 5 years, Bruce has won us as many SEC regular season championships as in the entire history of Auburn basketball before he came. Two before and two in the last 5 years.
Wow.
That's very Pat Dye-like. Mm-hmm. Remember, we had won one SEC championship before Pat Dye? And he won us one in his third year and then three more in the late 80s. Very similar.
It is, but it just goes to show like what a big deal this is. Mm-hmm. I mean, including the one we went on Saturday, we've only done this 4 times. And as you said, some of the other ones were shared.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's crazy.
Really need to appreciate this. And it does, the regular season does matter.
Charles Barkley's teams never did it. Chuck Person's team never did it. Chris Morris's team never did it. One time with that incredible lineup that Cliff Ellis was able to put together in 98-99, we did it. And that team had to just go on a tear. They went like 27-4 or something in order to do it. And then we've done it twice since then. And this year with a really strong conference. I mean, it's not like we went out there and, played, Ole Miss or something 17 times. This has been, Kentucky's really good. Arkansas is really good. Tennessee's really good. And, I mean, below that, LSU's pretty good. Alabama's pretty good. Mississippi State, for all that they kind of stumbled to the finish line, is really good.
Yeah. I mean, again, Alabama's the 5th or 6th best team in this league, and they beat Gonzaga, beat Houston, beat some other good teams, and they're not the best team. We are.
No. So, yeah, we have to think that there's good stuff on the horizon. I mean, we're just now getting – we've just gotten to the end of the regular season, and this is Monday night, as always, that we're recording. And in 3 days – or do they play on Wednesday now? The conference is so freaking big now. I guess they start on Wednesday, do they? Or I don't even know. They have a 5-day – they redo the brackets like every couple of years. So
the first 2 games are Wednesday.
Okay.
This is the game that Auburn was in for years.
Yes.
That first round we wanted to get out of. And the games start Wednesday evening and then all day Thursday, Friday, and then into Saturday and Sunday. So.
We don't even start playing until Friday, right?
That's right. Auburn plays Friday at noon.
We get the double bye. Yes. The coveted double bye. All three of our games, potentially, if we get to play all three games, would be right around noon, 11 or 12 Central.
Yeah.
12 or 1.
Noon, and then if we kept winning, they'd both be at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Eastern, yeah. So that's crazy. So, it's just, I mean, if you realize that before Bruce, and I just found this out today, I really didn't know, I didn't pay any attention back then to, I mean, you know, just like you, I loved Auburn basketball in the late 70s and the 80s, and then under Cliff Ellis in the 90s, early 2000s. But the Lebo Barbie years, I kind of tuned out. I'd watch them play for a little bit, they'd lose, and I'd turn. I didn't make any effort to keep track of statistics or anything during those years. I just knew that we weren't doing well. So as I was doing some research for what someone called the worst kept secret on Twitter. Loved it. That was so funny. I discovered that during Barbie's 4 years, we lost in the first round of the SEC tournament every year. Never won a single postseason game of any kind under him. Not a one.
God, that guy was terrible.
So bad.
The worst.
Yeah. Yeah. Just never won, never went to a, didn't go to the NIT, not a single time. Didn't go to the NCAAs, of course, and didn't win a game. It was like being on probation for 4 years, basically. So,
my probation would have been better.
Yeah, at least we had an excuse. Yeah, exactly. Didn't have to go lose to Vanderbilt every year or whatever it was that we were losing to in the first round every time. I can make an interesting list of teams we've lost to in the first round of the SEC tournament. I've looked at them from 1978 all the way up to 2014. In the last month or so, and it seems like in the first round of the SEC tournament, we always play either LSU or Vanderbilt. Those seem to be the two teams we've played the most. There have been a little bit of Texas A&M lately. There's been a little bit of Georgia, a little bit of like Ole Miss, but it's usually been one of them. It's never really been Kentucky in the first round. No, not much of that.
They're getting the bye, so.
Yeah, exactly. They always did. So we would always, but we would lose to them in like the second or third round. That was a thing. So, a couple of Floridas. Yeah. We would often get Florida in like the second round if we made it to the second round. So, yeah, our SEC tournament record is really depressing. We know we got a handful of years that were awesome, but the other years, it's just relentless, one year after another of, oh, and then we lost to Georgia. Oh, and then we lost to LSU. Oh, then we lost to Mississippi State, you know?
And this is the other thing. Like, my goal for Auburn basketball was just make the NCAA tournament for my lifetime. Yeah. Right? That was my goal for it. And every year I would go into the SEC tournament saying, hey, all we got to do is win this tournament, win a couple of games, we're in the NCAA tournament, and then...
85 is the only time it really happened that way. The only time I can think of. In fact, there was the one year with Lebo I just researched yesterday where I didn't remember this at all. With Lebo, we were like right on the bubble. And I mean, we could have gotten in, but the SEC was really down that year.
Well, and we played a really weak non-conference schedule.
We played a weak non-conference schedule, lost to Mercer, and lost to another team kind of like that in the early, like in November, December. And then we played a very weak SEC. Kentucky was on the bubble. That tells you, you know, how bad the SEC was. And then I think LSU and Tennessee were the only teams that were in the top 25 and got in automatically. And we all we needed to do was like win one game in the SEC tournament and we would be in, and we didn't. So it was really depressing. Yeah. Yeah, it's a spotted history at best. So good, right? We won the SEC. We're going into the tournament feeling pretty good. I mean, how many games did we play in 2019 when we won the SEC tournament? Did we play from the very first? I don't think so. I think maybe we got a bye from the first round.
No, we had a bye.
Just from the first round. It wasn't a double bye, I don't think. Maybe we were one of the top four teams. I can't remember. John's looking it up. Yeah, I mean, but that year I know that we played Florida. I know we played Tennessee. I feel like we played one other team before that, maybe like South Carolina or something. I can't remember. But we went on that tear, and we were just like, that was when Bryce started just hitting everything, couldn't miss. Jared took over from the point. All the role players at forward that could just rotate in and out, and you barely had any drop-off, and Wiley in there. And, man, that team was so great. Oh, those guys were so good. So, but, yeah, I've been doing some digging. I think folks know what we're working on here. And part of our digging – I'm thinking at this point, if you haven't found it, we might as well not give it up. But part of our digging included getting some new material. And you heard that last week. We talked to Sonny Smith, and that was so much fun. It was an honor. It was a privilege. It was fun. It was awesome. What did you think about that conversation?
I think it was one of the best podcasts we've ever done. I'm going to be honest. I'm really proud of it. I think it was really, we were well prepared.
Yes.
And I think we executed well. He enjoyed talking with us, and you could tell it was fun. And we asked good questions, and so I was very happy with it.
He said that he thought we asked really good questions. That made me very happy.
Not just the same kind of questions like anybody on Sports Talk Radio would ask him if he was on today, but I think we asked thoughtful questions. And I think it was a good conversation about him and the history of Auburn basketball.
Yeah.
And so I'm really proud of it. I think he was introspective and thoughtful, and the interesting answers about coaching Barkley and the differences between then and now and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so my view is it's one of the best things we've ever done, but also I like it because it's kind of an evergreen podcast. If you didn't get to listen to it yet, go back and listen to that Sonny Smith podcast because it's good.
All week long, and I don't know when people listen to our show. I think most people, if you look at the stats on Podbean, most people listen to our show on Tuesday morning or Tuesday afternoon. After work, probably. But they trickle in after that, right? It's like a roller coaster shape, and it trickles in after that. All week long, the numbers for this episode were lower than most of our regular episodes. And I thought, oh, that's too bad. That's too bad that not as many people are listening to this one. Maybe they just aren't interested in, you know, they want current stuff. They don't want to hear what Sonny had to say. But all week, I've been hearing people saying, oh, I got around to listening to the Sonny Smith episode, and that was really good. So it's been kind of steady, you know. People have been kind of going back and listening, and the numbers are now climbing up to where the others have been. So this episode will put that to end. It'll stop now because we'll have a new episode, unfortunately. But in terms of the Sonny Smith episode, but yeah, I was excited to get to talk to him, and I appreciate his daughter Sherry hooking us up on that, and she was awesome, and all of her neat connections to Sylacauga and to Southern Illinois and all the other places I've been and everything was kind of cool. And
and I drove by VCU on the way home to record that interview.
Oh, wow. There you go. See, I need to get the red yarn and start connecting things on the wall behind me because this is like, it's aliens, John. I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's aliens responsible for all this. So, but that was cool. Yeah, I enjoy talking to him. I was going to say, the thing that I thought was actually the most surprising that he said, given how he talks on the show, on his broadcast, is that he was praising the current officials.
Yes.
I was like, that when he said, oh, the officials are great, I was like, what? Really? Okay. Because, I mean.
No, I think what he said is, they're better than they used to be.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's there's a lot of leeway between those two.
There's some relativity between how they were and how they are. It doesn't mean they're always really good. I think he did say they're better than they've ever been.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, you may see parts of that interview showing up soon in other formats too, and I'm very excited about that. So things are coming along on the project that shall not be named yet. I can tell you that things are coming along really well. The preliminary work is almost done. You did your preliminary part so far. I've done my preliminary part almost. Got one more section to go. Then you and I are going to sit down and do a show like this just for ourselves to produce some more material and some commentary, and then we're going to put that together. And I'm hoping that at the current rate, I'm hoping that it'll be done not too soon after the tournament, but when people are still interested in it. But I've been hauling butt trying to get things done in a timely fashion. So, in other news, we played Mississippi State and had in Stark Vegas, as they proclaim on their baseline. And we had to go to overtime. And as you note here, it can never be easy because, man, there were like numerous occasions in that game. It's the same with South Carolina that I felt like, you know, we got it. And then we kind of relax or something.
I do think there's a tendency in this team when they get ahead of a team they feel like they're much better than by about 15 points.
Yep.
I think especially offensively at that point, they're like, well, all right. Everybody do whatever you want to do now, you know? And, like, it's open season. If you want to take a rush three-pointer off balance, whatever, do it, you know? You want to drive in the lane and flip it behind your head or whatever, do it. So I just feel like they don't do that thing where they step on your throat and, like,
no,
run away and hide. You know what I'm saying?
It makes
they
me
get
nervous,
ahead but, yeah, by about 15, 17, 18 points, and then they're like, all right, well.
Chuck and duck.
Yeah. We'll just mess around for a while. And then the other team gets hot. And yeah, then we turn around and we're in a game.
Mm. Yeah. And against South Carolina, that happened several times.
Yes.
It's like we would try and we'd go up like 15, 16, 17 points, like you said. And then we would relax and it'd be like down to 9 to 8. And at one point it got like 7, 6. And I'm going, if we mess around here and lose to this South Carolina team, I'm going to be so mad. And then we'd put the foot down again. That happened like 4 times in that game, though. It was exasperating. It's tiring. You just when you think you can relax and enjoy it, they mess around and so.
And I want to be clear, like the messing around is all, in my mind, is all on the offensive end. I think this team plays consistently hard on defense every possession. But part of that effort is their view is that they rest on offense. You know, they play as hard as they possibly can on the defensive end of the floor. And so some of resting on offense means there's going to be standing around. Like, I'm tired. I'm just going to stand over here. I'm not going to move and cut through the lane and stuff. Y'all just, if you pass me the ball, I'll pass it back. But I'm just standing over here for a few seconds. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that happens sometimes on offense, and it leads to lack of motion and lack of creating, you know, good passing and guys getting open and creating good shots.
Well, I've said it before. I like that occasionally we actually do look like we're running an offense rather than just running down there and making a couple of passes and chucking it. But I don't like when we do like 5 very brilliant passes and the last pass is to Devin Cambridge on the wing for a 3-pointer. I'm just, you know, I mean, he was not great last year. This year, it's just, you know, he's hit. I think I've seen him hit. I may have talked about this last episode. I don't remember. I think I've seen him hit like 3 all year. I think I've seen him hit 3 3-pointers all year. It's probably more than that, but that's what I can remember is like, oh, he made that one. Oh, my gosh, alert the media. So he's great in other ways, you know. He's great in other ways. He plays great defense. He rebounds. He does all those little things. That's awesome. I just don't want the end of the sequence to be him taking a three-pointer. I mean, there's like three guys on this team that I want taking three-point shots, and he's not one of them. Interestingly, Kessler does pretty – you know, I think Kessler went 1 for 2, and the second one actually rimmed out. It was in
it
and kind of
hit it, but yeah, we don't want him to shoot three-pointers either. Let's be clear. Jabari Smith is in the top 10 in the country in three-point shooting percentage. We want him shooting three-pointers.
Yeah.
We want him shooting more three-pointers.
Yeah.
You know, and after that, Zepp, KD, Wendell could shoot a few three-pointers. And nobody else really needs to shoot a three-pointer.
Zepp is interesting in that he doesn't ever really try to shoot, but when he does shoot, he seems like he shoots about 80%.
I think he lost his confidence, or he was being too much the you know, distributor point guard in the middle of the season. And then, you know, they had that story in the game where Pearl texted him, was like, hey, you know, you could score. Look for your shot more. And he went out and then he went out and had a good game. And I think he's kind of rediscovered his confidence now. And I think it makes the team much tougher to stop.
Oh, yeah.
Teams are really sloughing off of him and ignoring him. And if we're going to get open shots from somebody on the outside with the guys we have inside, and I think he can make them. I have confidence in Zepp making plays.
Yeah. If we can get Zepp playing like Jared Harper and get Jabari playing sort of like Bryce Brown, although he does other things too, then I'm going to start feeling more and more confident going into the postseason here. I feel better and better. So the thing that kind of got lost in the shuffle with the Mississippi State game was we were about to lose, and Jabari, and everybody remembers Jabari missed that shot at the end that would have won it without overtime, but the shot before that he made that tied it. If he doesn't make that knuckleball long two-point shot, I believe it was, we lose. There's no overtime. So that was a huge shot, and there were people draped all over him, and he just goes up and makes that shot, cold as ice.
Yeah, he was great in that game. And, again, at the end, he had the drive and went right by the guy, dunked it.
I
mean, he was really consistently good in that game. And I think what we're going to see is teams are going to do what South Carolina did and throw the kitchen sink at him and just be like, put their best guy on him the whole game, and you just foul him from the second he gets off the bus and keep fouling him and dare him to call it. So,
well, hopefully they will, because he makes his free throws for the most part.
Mm-hmm. He does. And that gives me a lot of confidence in him having the ball in those situations, because he's a really good free throw shooter. Yeah. So it's like, hey, foul him. Go ahead.
Yeah, he and KD seem to be the most consistent. What are we going to do with Alan Flanagan?
All right, I have been saying on this podcast for 4 months now that Alan Flanagan would come along and would get back closer to the player that he was. But I think his confidence offensively is not there. You could see, like, in the last 3 or 4 games, he's had, you know, 6 or 7 really good shots that were, you know, right there rolling around the rim and just roll up. It's like he's a little bit cursed, right?
Yeah.
And so some of that, I think, is affecting his confidence. But I'm going to say this on when you look at the defensive advanced stats, he's the third best defender on the team behind Kessler and Zepp Jasper. So when he's in the game, he's making a difference by defending one of the other team's wings really well and getting some rebounds and that kind of stuff. Now, I agree. Like, it's a concern. He's turned the ball over and his shots aren't great. And it's
turning the ball over is the main thing.
It's limiting the offense. Yeah. So I think they got, you know, we need him to step up and at least be a net, you know, slight positive. He can't be holding us back. I think what you saw in the South Carolina game was Bruce put Chris Moore in the game for a few minutes in each half. And I think part of that is because we're getting out rebounded and beat to effort balls. And one of the positions where that's happening is the Flanagan Cambridge small forward position. And sometimes those guys come in and they get, you know, especially Cambridge went through a period in the early season where he got a ton of offensive rebounds. But right now we're getting beat to the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
And Chris Moore comes in and he's going 100 miles an hour and providing a lift in that area. So I think we may see more of that.
We got to do something about the rebounding. It's just there's no reason that a team with Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith gets out-rebounded.
again, I think it's a small forward position where we're hurting. But I think the other thing is sometimes we have guys that are, you know, want to take off and run, and instead of staying and rebounding, right? Because they want to get a fast break, so they're taking off down the court, and then you have whatever three guys rebounding against five guys on the other team. So right. When that happens, we don't get the rebound, and the other team gets an offensive rebound, and then we're playing, you know, 5-on-3 for a second or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think,
and they score inevitably. Yeah,
yeah, it's dangerous. So I think we need to. Again, it's tough because on some teams you really want to try to run and get up and down. But I think we need to stay in and block out our men. And then I think, you know, you're right. Kessler and Jabari are doing their job, but I think everybody else has to do their job. I think we got a lot of long rebounds that are going to other team, and that's not Kessler and Jabari's ball. So I think that's part of it. So I want to talk about this. You asked about what are we going to do about Flanagan. One of the answers we're going to do about Flanagan is this new lineup they've been playing with the three guards, Smith and Kessler.
Yes.
I think that's the answer.
That's one for sure, because when you've got three smaller guys that are quick, it seems to pull the defense out a little bit. Because one of the things that we've been running into all season is defenses have just packed in under the goal and shut down Kessler's offense. Kessler hasn't scored lately like he used to. Yes. And clogged it up so that, you know, now maybe this will pull it out a little bit, open it up a little bit more. It certainly seemed to work last week against whoever we beat before Mississippi State.
Well, and in the first half of Mississippi State, we were shooting the ball well and it really opened things up. And then I think in the first half against South Carolina, it did as well. But I think this is going to be the, you know, if we're in a close game going down the stretch at the end of the game, that's going to be the lineup. It's not going to be Flanagan. It's going to be the three guards, Smith and Kessler. And I like it. I like it a lot. Katie Johnson is physical enough to match up against a lot of small forwards, even if they're taller than him. He's not going to get pushed around. No. And I think you're right. Offensively, you put the three of those guys out on the perimeter, they can all shoot. If Jabari comes out there on the perimeter too, then you can have some of them driving to the basket. And again, you got four guys outside and Kessler by himself in the middle, like you said, opening up more space for him to operate.
Yeah. And most of the time that works pretty well. I don't like his matchups the two times he's gone up against Florida. That the Florida center has kind of given him trouble. But and of course, if we play Kentucky, Tshiebwe is just unstoppable. I mean, you just have to figure he's going to get his, you know, and you just got to work around it. But otherwise, yeah, I feel like Kessler should be able to. In fact, it has been weird how over the course of the season different players have emerged at different times and then kind of receded again. There was like the KD Johnson era, there was the Walker Kessler era, you know, and then of course Jabari pops up here and there all the time. There was the Wendell Green era for a while. You know, they each kind of had their moment in the sun, and so we'll see how I think teams just kind of figured out better how to play us in the second half of the season.
I think so, too. I think, again, some of the times we were playing teams for a second time, mm-hmm. and we're going to see that in the tournament. But also, I think teams were taking away the things that we were doing well, and we had to adjust to that. We had to kind of be, you know, we talk about this in the other sport that we normally talk about a lot, where when you do something well and the other team counters it, you have to be ready for that and be able to respond to their counter and take advantage of that. We have to do that.
Yeah, I think that there's two things that this postseason is going to come down to, and that is the play of our guards and how well they can make long shots and drive inside when they crowd in the middle, and the coaching, how well Bruce and his staff can adjust playing these teams the second or third time.
I'm going to be honest on that second point. I have absolute confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm just spoiled by watching them coach. In the other tournament games that we've seen them coach in, these coaches do a great job scouting the opponent and preparing game plans and using what we have to take advantage of it. Again, and learning the lessons from the game we played against these teams before. So in that part, I have absolute confidence in Bruce Pearl and staff to have this team ready to play at a high level. So,
well, anything else looking back before we look ahead to the that we haven't, I guess we've kind of looked at the tournament. We can look at some specifics.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only other thing looking back is just that shoulder wrap on Kessler. Yeah. We need him to get healthy.
Yeah, that was not a pleasant sight. So we go up against, we have the number one seed in the tournament, obviously, which we can't say very often. We go up against the winner of Florida, Texas A&M on Friday. I know that people keep telling me, well, Texas A&M has been playing a lot better lately. I just feel like our matchup is better against them than against Florida. But, you know, I'll take whoever we get.
Yeah, I agree. I'd rather play Texas A&M. Texas A&M beat Florida during the regular season.
Yeah.
But it was in College Station, a one-point game. So,
well, I just feel like Florida matches up with Kessler. They have that Castleton or whatever that's really good inside. And they gave us a fit in Auburn, and then they beat us barely in Gainesville. I'm not afraid of them. I'm just, if you're looking at matchups and who would you rather play, who do you think you can do better against, I have a little more confidence that we can do well against Texas A&M. How have they been doing so well? They kind of made a roar at the end and came up to like 6th, 7th, 8th place or something there.
Again, I think they were hot at the beginning of the season and then terrible in the middle and then came back at the end. And
That's
think
weird.
It was just they were executing better and you know, the guys, I think they had some health issues and some guys got healthy and came back and played well. I want to say this, like, I'm happy Kentucky's on the other side of the bracket, but all these other teams that we lost to, if we get them on a neutral court, bring it on.
Oh, yeah.
Florida, yeah. Arkansas, Tennessee on a neutral court, bring it.
Let's go. I would love another shot at Arkansas when it's not, you know, 20,000 screaming people on their Super Bowl night or whatever, as they called it.
Yes, and everything's going their way. No,
Yeah.
Let's go. Take your shot. I want it.
So we go ahead.
I'm just going to say the biggest thing about being the number one seed is the time advantage.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you.
Because we play at noon on Friday.
John and then is talking communist time right now, just so we all understand.
Noon Eastern on Friday, 1 Eastern on Saturday, okay? So that obviously whoever we match up against, like in the Saturday game, they'll have played after us on Friday, right?
Less time to rest.
Yeah, they'll have whatever, 3 or 4 hours less to rest. And it could depend on who they are. That may be their second game in the tournament. And then when they play us on Saturday, that may be their third game in the tournament, depending on where they're coming from. And then again, the other teams on the other side of the bracket, the Tennessee-Kentucky side of the bracket, those teams play late on Friday. And so they play Saturday afternoon after one of them is going to be playing at like 9 o'clock on Friday. And then they're going to have to turn around and play Saturday afternoon. Less than 24 hours later, they're going to be playing a really high-quality opponent. So I think, and Auburn again, will be back at the hotel resting by that point. You know what I'm saying? And they'll be playing, and then we'll be playing early on Sunday with them again having less than 24 hours to rest and Auburn having been back at the hotel if we won. So I think the number one seed is a real advantage because of that in this tournament.
Now, I have to admit, I will be having a hard time watching the games because we were planning to go to Disney World since Mira's off on spring break and we're off on spring break at the same time for the first time ever. This is like the first year ever that we've all been off at the same time. So let's go. So this kind of hit us very late. And I didn't really look at the calendar or anything, but we were supposed to be there like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. And we found out like literally at the last minute the other day as we were getting everything ready, we found out that Disney has a new system that we didn't know anything about. And let this be a warning to you if you're thinking about going to Disney World anytime soon, right? They had this new system where not only do you have to buy tickets to the parks, you also have to make a reservation for the specific park you want to go to that day. And they, if enough people make a reservation, they won't let anybody else make a reservation. So you can't even buy a ticket for the park you want to go to if there's no reservation. But actually, I think you can, and they just don't let you in. Because all over the place it says, before you buy your ticket, make sure you have a reservation for that day. And I'm thinking, if you're having to keep reminding people of that, that means it's possible to do it. And I would be pissed if I bought a $100 ticket and then showed up and they're like, where's your reservation? I'd be like, reservation? So here was the deal. We wanted to go to my family, right? They wanted to go to the Magic Kingdom and Epcot. The only day in basically March, the only day that you could get a Magic Kingdom reservation was Saturday, because I guess all the spring breakers come in this coming week. So we're at the Magic Kingdom on Saturday and Epcot on Sunday. And then I'm like, oh, crap. That's the and we'll be traveling on Friday, I think. Something like that. Yeah, yeah. We're leaving Thursday night. We'll be traveling all day Friday. So I'm going to be watching a lot of basketball on my phone that weekend, this coming weekend. But thank goodness we have that technology now. Otherwise, it would be VCR.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I'd be putting 8-hour VCR tapes in and like hoping that when I got back, all the games are on there. You know, I'd be like, don't spoil it, don't spoil it. Anyway, so then on Sunday after we win the SEC, hello, there is the announcement of the brackets.
Yes, yeah, Sunday evening after the SEC tournament's over, they'll announce the NCAA bracket. You don't watch the TV show. It goes on like 4 hours, a bunch of talking heads. So you can just wait, and they'll put it out online at like 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So then the first round games will be Thursday and Friday, March 17th and 18th. So as we just had this discussion with Van at Disney World, I'm going to lay this out for you now. Think about now, like your work schedule on Thursday and Friday, the 17th and 18th, because it's possible. And again, Auburn might play at night and it might not matter, but Auburn might be playing at noon on one of those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So prepare accordingly.
I will be home the first round of the NCAA tournament weekend, but the second round of the NCAA tournament weekend, I'm a guest at Mid-South Con in Memphis. So again, there's going to be a lot of watching games on my phone. I got to make sure my phone is ready to roll that for the next few weeks. And that sucks. It's just, this is just a very busy time of the year for me, and it just is running into the NCAA tournament, the SEC tournament. So how are you feeling as we go in about Auburn's chances as we go into the postseason?
It's funny. This team won the Southeastern Conference.
They did.
They're really, really, really good.
I heard about that.
We have the best player in America on our team. So,
KD Johnson.
And I think we have a... Yeah, okay. Listen, KD Johnson is the personification of the Leroy Jenkins meme, okay? He's like, it's KD Johnson time! And he, you know, he just goes. Even yes. When everybody else is like, wait, we had a plan, you know? And
he's like, screw it. So, I'm scoring.
Yes, he's like, I got it. I'm going straight to the basket. I got this. So I love that about him, right? Mm-hmm. And yes. You need guys with that kind of ridiculous confidence. Mm-hmm. And we have those guys. So here's what I'm going to tell you, how you should feel ahead of these games. I think we got the best player in America in Jabari Smith. We have a team that is in the top 20 in defensive efficiency and offensive efficiency. And what the advanced stats people would tell you is, a team has to be in the top 20 in both of those categories to win the national title. And there's only about five of them, okay, in the current field. And Auburn is one of them.
Yeah.
Okay? We know we have a great defense. No team is going to blow us out or run away from this team because our defense is so good.
Yeah.
So then it's really just about having a good offensive game plan, taking good shots, executing well on offense. And I think sometimes this team – you know, honestly, like we were talking about with the big leads, they got bored sometimes in the regular season and lost focus. And I don't think that's going to be a problem in a tournament game where they could get sent home if they screw around. I don't think it's going to be a problem. Yeah. And I think they're going to be motivated to show everybody that they deserve the number one seed. So I think this team's – and as I said earlier, I have a lot of confidence in Bruce and the staff to prepare the team to play well. I think they're really going to show people what they can do and go out and do some damage. And we may lose on Saturday or Sunday in the SEC tournament, but I think it's going to be somebody else plays. If we lose, it's going to be because somebody else plays an incredible game and goes bananas.
Somebody with guards that outguard us.
Yeah, it ain't going to be because Auburn went and like laid a big egg or something. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, so. I don't think so.
And I think and this is the other thing. I think when the NCAA tournament comes around, I think the SEC as a whole, top to bottom, is the best conference of college basketball this year.
Yeah.
And I think Auburn is the best team in that conference. So I think you're going to see a bunch of other SEC teams go into the tournament and do damage and make runs. And I think you're going to see Auburn do that. There's I'm not scared of some of these other teams out there, these other conferences that I've been watching. So I feel like Auburn could play with different style teams. I'm not worried about teams that are big or fast or, you know, anything else. And I'm like, that's fine. You play how you want to play. We'll be ready. So, but we got to know we're getting everybody's best shot.
And you know, the 2019 team, the Final Four team, they didn't play at a consistent level all the way across the entire postseason either. They kind of worked their way up to a crescendo in the SEC tournament, and then they started really poorly in the first game of the NCAA tournament and worked their way up to destroying Kansas and North Carolina.
Yeah, they didn't play at the destroy Kansas level the first minute of the tournament.
No. So it always varies, and it always depends on a lot of things. So we'll see. All right, we got a couple more things to do. We got to guess the game coming up here, which is interesting considering we're not really talking about football. We got to guess the game. I don't guess Jared's put us together a basketball guess the game. We need a basketball guess the game before the season's over, I guess, the whole thing. But maybe it is. But just remember, we don't do ads. We depend entirely on you, our listeners, to make this show possible. So if you want to join the family and have some fun, get in on our NCAA tournament brackets or get in on our Fantasy Formula One League again. And just generally support the show, go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button to become a patron. Gosh, got a frog in my throat. So before we thank the patrons, we got to guess the game. Let me see if I can push the button here for Jared. Ah, here it is. This is the one we didn't get to do last week, I believe, right? Or was it? What did I do?
We're not recognizing the patrons?
Yeah, I usually do it after this, but I got started with that, and then I decided to go ahead and do the... Let's thank the patrons. I'll go ahead and do it. All right, we have to thank people. We have to thank... where'd they go? Samuel Salvatore, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, Bradley Blackman, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, Ann Kangian, AU Falling Up, Ben Bloodworth, Brian's Not Harsin' Around, Chris Hilton, who bids you a hearty war eagle. Thank you, Chris. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Ole Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, On to Tampa and Beyond. Amen to that, Rusty. Owlgorithm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Sarah Browns, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary. This may be the year that the softball hitting improves to the point that Mickey Dean's critics quiet down. Bob Sammons, okay. War Eagle Always, WDE Richie, and then we should all change our name to...
Smoke Weed Every Day.
And have Van spam the soundboard. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Boddy, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Die Bama, oh, they did this year, Eric Mahan, helping Van upgrade his insulation still, Hugh Anderson, John not liking the soundboard for patron names is nothing but pure... Oh, wait, I didn't know where they were going with that. I didn't know it. All right, let me try that one again, because they deserve it, Stephen. John not liking the soundboard for patron names is...
And that's nothing but pure and simple old-fashioned communism.
Well played, Stephen. Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, listen to hellbentatl.com, and...
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, they're killing me. Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, play tough defense, protect the ball, take good shots, rebound. Amen, Danny. And as Sonny would add, defense without fouling. Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, Alex Nguyen, alum of a basketball school, Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshoe, Ben Riggis, Brian Albanese, C. Braun, and finally, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald, I Elizabeth's husband was one of the other authors at the author convention thing at the library in our town last weekend. So Jimmy and I got to hang out, and I was watching the Auburn South Carolina game while that was going on. Let's see, I lost my place. Doggone it! Oh, it's
and we gotta get better at celebrating.
There's that one. Here's to the best Auburn podcast, War Eagle. Well, thank you very much. I'll buy this for a dollar. Yes, you did. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrecht, who I was with recently in Los Angeles at the Bond Museum, at the Automotive Museum for the Bond exhibit. Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schinker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright, who I was also with at the Bond exhibit, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, John Ringer is... John Ringer...
My brother is possessed by the devil and must be... examined.
They're just killing it this time. Stephen Thompson, testicles. All right, a new patron. Trevor Johnson, Zepp Jasper shares the ball better than the team does SEC championships. Oh.
Please clap.
That was good. Brant Rumble plus Chris and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. We thank you all. I can't even see John right now. Let me bring him back up. There he is. He's there. Okay. I only have so many windows open on the computer at a time. So
I do appreciate the patrons really teeing up the soundboard there. I don't always appreciate the soundboard, but when the patrons tee up the soundboard and make Van read that stuff, it was really good.
You know what you can say about our patrons this week? They were just two little country kids outside misbehaving. There's a new season that up right now. I've only seen the first episode. I feel like I've gotten behind now. So now we are ready to go to Guess the Game. I got to minimize you again, John, because I got to get into the audio system. So it is time for the latest from Jared.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrecht, the yard sale artist, a.k.a. Jinxie Jared here. With your Guess the Game number 44. Guess the Game 44 is brought to you by, well, me, actually. I've kind of caught up on the Guess the Game suggestions, so if you have one rattling around in your head, I will give you the information on that at the end of today's Guess the Game. I do have one in there, but finding the audio for it is quite challenging, so I'm working on that. Anyway, no further ado, let's listen to the play for this Guess the Game.
With 126 yards behind that great offensive line. And he's loose. They'll never get him. That's 6 yards. They've got about 20,000 Auburn fans here today, and they are all on their feet for who has gone over the 200-yard mark in rushing with that 76-yard scamper.
Okay, gentlemen, I will see you in the hint file.
That sounded like a home game until he said 20,000 fans. By the way, I'm like, how are we supposed to figure anything out when the entire first half of that clip was beep, bleep, bleep? But no, we got like, some
man,
stuff.
Man, that guy was really cussing.
He foul mouth. But yeah, we got some information at the end, though, so that's cool. So clearly it was an away game. It sounded like the 90s, early 2000s to me in terms of the audio. I don't know about you.
It did, and 200 yards.
On a 76-yard run.
Well, 200 yards total and a 76-yard touchdown. That hasn't happened a whole lot in road games.
No. Was that maybe...
He's traditionally picked wins.
Oh, yeah.
Because my first thought was the Kenny Irons game at LSU.
That's what my thought! Yes! So we know it's wrong. See, that's the thing. We know that's wrong because he didn't give us losses. But 2005, that is exactly what I was thinking, is when Kenny Irons went off on LSU, we missed all the field goals.
What about what about the Ronnie Brown at Florida game? He didn't have that many yards, I don't think.
Well, we lost that one too, though, in overtime. Yeah, it was such a miraculous comeback by Ronnie that we forget we ended up losing it in overtime. It was too early to have been Trey Mason doing something like that, isn't it?
But you know, early on when he was talking about how great the offensive line was, I did think about Trey Mason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a road game where Trey Mason rang up huge stats?
2013 Tennessee. Okay. We ran all over Tennessee. We had like 8,000 yards rushing from everybody in that game.
I like that. Let's go with that.
All right. Let's file that one away. But I still feel like it was earlier than that, though. I feel like
we go to the hit file.
We can in just a second. I'm just trying to think. 96, 97. We didn't have a great running game up until 2000. You know, with
Rudy.
Yeah, with Rudy Johnson. But I don't remember him having a 76. He had a long run against. No, he didn't. Against Alabama that year, we kicked 3 field goals.
Yeah, so, how about 2002?
Yeah, that would be Ronnie Brown. But I don't remember having a 200-yard game that we won. Maybe against Penn State, but that would have been a bowl game. It would have been more than 20,000 people, wouldn't it? I think we're going to have to go to the hint file. Tennessee, 2013 Tennessee is a valid option, but I'm not sold on it at all. I agree it's a possibility. Let's see. Let's see what it has to say.
Welcome to the hint file. Let's get rid of those bleeps and hear those names. It should help you out quite a bit if you were at all stuck.
Jackson with 126 yards behind that great offensive line of Steve Wallace, Jeff Lott, Ben Tamborello, Yann Cowart, and Stacey
Searle. Go back far enough.
Jackson, he's loose. They'll never get him. Bo Jackson, 76 yards. They've got about 20,000 Auburn fans here today, and they are all on their feet for Bo Jackson, who has gone over the 200-yard mark in rushing with that 76-yard scamper.
All right, gentlemen, there you have the hint. I will see you in the answer file.
So we didn't go back far enough.
Not close.
But
we were within 20 years of it.
But saying a great game by Bo Jackson doesn't really narrow it down very much, does it? I mean,
Again, it's a 3-year period, and he was banged up one of those years. It's a road game.
Four years overall, banged up his junior year. Okay.
Right. So three really productive years.
Yeah.
A road game.
Georgia Tech, like the bye-bye Bo game.
I like that one. Because, again, I'm thinking about, like, you know, games where he racked up huge numbers.
Florida State, 85. Georgia Tech. Alabama, 83 in the storm. But they'd have been talking about the rain or something there, I feel like.
Yeah, and there would be a lot. There was more Auburn fans there.
Yeah,
So I like Georgia Tech or Florida State.
We lost at Texas when we played them in 84 there.
Yeah, that was my first thought, but we beat them at home later, but we lost that too.
And the Texas A&M game, his last game, we lost. He did have a long run, but it was a pass catch, and we lost. And I don't think he went over 200 yards. You want to go with Georgia Tech?
Let's do it. So which year was that?
85?
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been 83 or 85. Yeah, 85. I think it's 85. All right, let's find out.
All right, John Van, if you guys got this right, that means you nailed it down as Auburn versus Georgia Tech in 1985.
Yay!
Just heard Bo Jackson score the go-ahead touchdown that gave Auburn the win that day in Georgia. Once again, if you have a selection for Guess the Game, you can send that to me directly on social media. I am at Yard Sale Artist on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Or you can email me at Jared, JARROD, at theyardsaleartist.com. And until next time, Van, John, War Eagle, and some Airwolf as usual.
I feel good we got that one because that was a really good one. Good job by Jared as always. He really digs deep and puts them together nice for us. That's awesome. By the way, you know, before we celebrate some more that we got that, you know the reason he plays Airwolf there.
I know, because he, and I want to thank Jared for his service in that category, that he thinks he's a jinx on the basketball team, mm-hmm. so he watches Airwolf instead of watching the basketball team, and I wanted to thank him for doing that.
It sure has worked this year.
It has. Just keep him coming.
That's right. So that was cool. We actually got it. I can't believe it. We really did. We got that one. That was tough. That was really tough.
That was tough. It's tough. Good job.
Well, and see, here's what I thought was really good about it, is he got the network or the TV audio. Because if it had been Jim Fife, you know, it would have been bye, bye, Bo. And we'd be like, oh, yeah, Georgia Tech, sure. But that's in the book. But I'd never heard the TV broadcast of it, really, I don't think. Not since 1985, probably. So, yeah, that's awesome. All right, so let's see. That just leaves, I don't think we have a lot of around the SEC, so I think we just need to rap on the door of Parliament here. And
thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Dispel once and for all with this fiction.
What we got?
All right. First question. We got a couple that came in last week we did not read that I want to read because I think they're good. First question is from Doc Crackham.
Yep.
Who says, is Auburn football looking up? It seems like Harsin's image is in the rehabilitation phase. We hired a home run assistant coach. A key wide receiver is staying. On the roller coaster that is Auburn fandom, where on the track do you see our cart?
I agree that since all the crap hit the fan, most of the news has been quietly optimistic. In other words, after all the body blows we were suffering for so long, it's felt like everything since then has been trending upward, not like in a home run way, but like getting a walk here, getting a single there, you know, we're getting people on base, to mix my metaphors.
No, that's a good analogy. Again, we got to get up off the mat.
Yeah.
Get back in the game. I think that's what's happening. But I think it is, again, the trend line is moving in the right direction, but it's, you know, we're at the curving up and we're at the bottom of Mount Everest. So we got a ways to go.
Yep. I agree.
All right. Our next question comes from Samuel Salvatore. He says, hey guys, a War Eagle.
We're good, Sam.
He says, how interesting is it what Bruce Pearl has done? Three championships in the last five seasons. Before Bruce, we had three in program history, the last being in 99. I'm enjoying the ride, ready for more. It's nice to see KD getting hot too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we had the 1960, which is the equivalent of the 57 football national championship in SEC. We had the 1960 championship. We had the 85 with Sonny SEC tournament championship, and we had the 99 regular season conference championship with Ellis, who, by the way, the more I look at it, I find more and more Cliff Ellis is underrated. I feel like he did a lot more than he gets credit for, because I looked at his 10 years, and in those 10 years, we played in the postseason seven times in 10 years. It was like five NCAA tournaments and two NITs. Just three times did we not make a – that's for Auburn is amazing. And we actually made it to the Sweet 16 twice. And came within 1 point of beating the national champions the second time we went to the Sweet 16, Indiana. No, I mean Syracuse. Yeah, Syracuse with Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Top 75 player of all time in the NBA. And with Marquise Daniels. And, I mean, you know, he had quite a run. So, but anyway, yeah, I agree with Samuel that things seem to be trending up in the right way. We knew we were going to have a little dip there. We had a tough late season schedule. So, guard play would help.
I think if you are a player in high school, a great high school player, or if you're a player who's going to transfer from their current program, you have to look at Auburn and say, they develop players, they got players to play well together. That's the kind of place I would like to play.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I want to play with other good guys and with coaches that know what they're doing and will put me in a position to be successful.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, every time that this team does well, we get to enjoy it, and it's a recruiting tool for the next team. That's so great.
It's true.
Oh, I have another Cliff Ellis factoid while I'm thinking about it. This will blow your mind. I did not realize this. Cliff Ellis is Auburn's second all-time winningest basketball coach, behind only Joel Eaves, and he is
winning percentage.
I Yeah, and I think in number of wins. In number of wins, Cliff Ellis, yeah, he's ahead of Sonny by just a little bit. He's second all-time on the Auburn list. He is the first all-time winningest Clemson coach, and he is the first all-time winningest South Alabama coach. That's incredible to have those three at three different places. And I'm sure he's working on Coastal Carolina now, you know.
I mean, he is a good coach. He's been successful wherever he went, so he deserves credit for that. All right, a couple more questions. This one's from Bill Miner, and it's titled Tournament Expectations.
Uh-oh.
And he says, guys, I could ask a deep thinking question about whether we should try to learn and get out of the SEC tournament, what we should try to learn and get out of the SEC tournament this week, but I have a different one. He says, do you guys have plans on Wednesday or Thursday night this week? I laugh, but I remember almost every year since I was in school, we'd be one of the first games, promptly lose, and the season would end. Thanks, Bruce, for extending basketball season.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And March Madness, let's shock the world.
Got to get that in at least once every episode now.
All right. Amen, Chuck. So we got two more questions. This one's from Christopher Braun, who emailed. These two both came in right before the show started. He says, hey, guys, War Eagle, my question is this. What moment from the regular season elevated you to a state of peak Auburn basketball bliss? We've had so many great moments so far, and I know it might be hard to choose, but I've got mine locked down. Wendell Green took over in the middle of the second half on the road against Alabama, and on consecutive possessions, he A, behind the back passed it to himself while splitting two Bama defenders before finishing with the layup, and then B, hit a deep step back three that nearly broke Coleman Coliseum. The looks of utter disbelief and shock on the Bama fans' faces after both sequences, coupled with the chilling roar of Auburn fans in the building after the three ball went through, has me going back and revisiting those highlights regularly. Close runner-ups include Green's fast break pass to Devin Cambridge for the thunderous slam in the second half against Kentucky, and Green's off the backboard pass to Cambridge for the one-handed slam at Georgia. Anyway, what are your top moments of the regular season? War Eagle always, Chris Braun.
Thanks, Chris. Was it Wendell that did the around the back sitting on the floor pass to Kessler against either?
Yes.
I can't remember which game.
At the end of that game, he got the rebound when he was sitting on the ground.
And he just kind of like threw it behind his back to Kessler, who went up and dunked it or laid it in or something, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That was sweet.
For me, a couple of moments. One is definitely the pass to Cambridge for the dunk in the second half against Kentucky. I really feel like that might have like blown the lid off the building. The crowd just went absolutely bonkers at that moment. I also love the basically half-court bounce pass it was either Zepp or Wendell made about a week ago to somebody under the basket for a layup. It was just an insane, bonkers, like half-court diagonal across bounce pass to somebody.
And went past two of the other team's players.
I think they were stunned that he was even trying.
Yes.
That one was insane.
Yes, and also, I remember that.
I think there were a couple of moments in the year where, you know, Jabari Smith was just like, oh, really? I'm sorry. You must be confused here. I'm Jabari Smith. And made some shots and just like looked at the refs or the other team with utter disdain. And also he just really gets into it too. There was a play early in the season when Jabari turned the ball over. It was his turnover, and he ran to the other end of the court and blocked the guy's shot on the fast break. And so many freshmen who are in his position would have been at the other end of the court, moping or yelling at the referee, I got fouled when the guy stole the ball from me, or just waiting for their team to come back with the ball so they could make a shot on offense and show the guy up. And he busted his rear end and went to the other end of the court and blocked the guy's shot. And that for me was like a moment when I'm like, oh, yes, I love this kid.
I if you go back to when it first really hit me that this team could rock and roll, and when it really just got to that peak, I think that the Kentucky game was probably the peak, because leading up to that game was so big. And then after that game, for several more games, we were still flying high. I mean, there was that was the part of the season to me that was just peak Auburn basketball, was right up to Kentucky and then back down a little bit until we lost to Arkansas in Arkansas. That period right in there was just like all I cared about for those weeks was just Auburn basketball. That's all I wanted to hear about, and that's all I cared about. Yeah, it kind of settled down, right? And it's a long season with a lot of games, and you have to kind of manage yourself and, you know, get up, get down, get up, get down. So I'm ready to get back up again now, but we kind of needed to just like recharge the batteries the last couple of weeks, I think. And so now we're ready to go make another run, I hope. Some teams settle down and recharge the batteries and they go flat. They can't get back up again. But I think this team can get itself back up. They're self-motivating. There's too many motivated players on this team.
Well, and I believe this. This is one thing I really truly believe. We have not seen this team play its best basketball game.
Still not.
I think this team has another level they can go to play for 40 minutes that's better than anything we've seen this far. I really truly believe that.
See, now I need the Spinal Tap. This one goes to 11.
I think this team can go to 11. So, So last questions from Shane Bailey. Mm-hmm. You probably missed this because you were doing other stuff with your family and getting ready for the show. There is an Auburn Twitter people on Twitter March Madness bracket matching up 64 Auburn Twitter accounts. Okay, and Shane's question is, what are your thoughts on Van making it as a 3 seed in the Auburn Twitter bracket and me being left out? And so again, I'm okay. I don't care because I don't.
Wait. So you got to explain this. So somebody seeded Auburn Twitter people?
Yes, I'm forwarding it to you right now so you can look at it later.
Okay.
And so there's a bracket. You are a 3 seed. Okay.
I'll take that. That's fine.
All right. Exactly. That's fair. Again, Pablo's the number 1 seed.
Yeah. Of course.
And Drunk Aubie's the number 1 seed.
Johnny Come Lately.
Yeah.
I know who I know how I would seed Auburn Twitter, and it's probably different than how they.
So anyhow, you're in there. I'm not. I'm okay.
That's
with
ridiculous.
It,
what an insult.
I don't tweet a lot, and it's on purpose.
Okay.
Fair enough. There's a lot of people on Auburn Twitter that I don't even follow. It's okay. My feelings are not hurt, and I'm all right. And
all right.
You know,
well, that's valid.
Thing, we're going to vote for Van. I'm just saying that.
I think about you on our show, and then and you're right, because you're not like all over Twitter. You're a calm, reassuring voice when necessary, when you have something legitimate to tweet about. Whereas I just go and go and go. Well, that's how it's always been.
And a lot of times, I mainly just go during the game.
Yes,
and
that's
outside
true.
The games, you know, there's not a lot I want to say.
That's fair enough.
Or
that's true.
Not a lot I want to say on Twitter. So
okay.
The other thing, I'm just thinking back about my favorite moments of the regular season is, this is not news to anybody listening to the show. I love defense regardless of the sport, and I truly felt joy at every single one of Walker Kessler's blocks. They really, really were good. One of the comparisons that one of the TV broadcasts made from this team, Van, was the Georgetown team from, I have to go back and look.
84? The national
team? No. The Dikembe Mutombo Alonzo Mourning team.
Oh, that was about 91, 90, 91, 92, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Because they were on the dream team.
Yeah, that team, they had one Charles Smith, I think, was a really good guard of that team. But they blocked a gazillion shots, and they had a great defensive rating, but they almost lost to Princeton in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Yes. Yes. I remember that game. Princeton kept running that backdoor. Yes. They kept running that backdoor thing. It drove me crazy.
But that they were the other team that had the combination of kind of like really great shot blocking, steals, and really great limiting the other team's defensive or limiting the other team's shooting percentage.
Yeah, and now we're going to lose
similarity. But one of the differences is Kessler is a really soft touch with the block. He blocks it and then recovers it, or allows his teammates to recover it. And sometimes Mourning and Mutombo would block the ball into the third row just to intimidate the other team.
That's right.
I appreciate Kessler doesn't do that.
That's so. A good point, yes. Man, yeah. I hadn't thought about that game in forever, but I remember watching it and just chewing my fingernails off that we were going to lose in the first round to freaking Princeton, who wouldn't have beaten anybody else. They'd have been out in the second round for sure. So, yeah, if you had told me a few years ago that I would be excited about Auburn basketball making a big potential tournament run and wondering whatever happened to Georgetown basketball instead of the other way around, I would have just said you were drunk. It's so crazy. The world.
You're using the heavy drugs.
Yeah, the heavy drugs. John, I've always said, of all the teams and all the sports I follow, I've always thought that the number one least likely to ever win a big championship in that sport was Auburn basketball. I thought U.S. men's soccer would win the World Cup before Auburn basketball won a national championship. And yet we went to the Final Four and came within a cheating Virginia hair's breadth of getting there, you know. Yeah, and we'll see right. what happens. So it's amazing. I compared it on Twitter yesterday to taking Vanderbilt to the SEC championship game three times in the playoffs.
That's equivalent to what Bruce has done.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
Yeah, if you look at our record leading up to now, absolutely it is, yeah. So, all right, I believe that is it. Any final thoughts?
Enjoy every moment of the tournament. And yes. This team could do it, okay? Don't go in afraid. Go in like, we're going to take it to these teams. You know what I'm going to say? They're locked in Tampa with us, okay?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
And when they come into Tampa with us.
But here, there are no civilized rules.
That's right.
We're not locked in Tampa with you. You're locked in Tampa with us. I like it, John. Good job. All right, our time is up. We'll see you guys at the tournament one way or another virtually. And we thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.